Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Welcome back to the Sean Casey Show. It is time once again for the resistance to meet and stop the march to Marxism being led by Chairman Joe Cacklin Camilla et al. I'm Sean Casey. Joining me is our executive producer, Michelle Double X Drasilla. Hello, Michelle.
Hi there. How are you doing?
We're doing A-OK today. And again, lots going on from over the weekend. We've got the Trump trial going on today. We're going to talk about the massive betrayal by the Uniparty and Speaker Johnson. They all violating their constitutional oath. So we have Speaker Johnson. The question is, should he be vacated? Should he resign? Donald Trump has weighed in on that. We'll take a look at anti-Semitism on the rise here during this Passover season. And, of course, big news out of the Trump trial and big news coming out of Florida in the Mar-a-Lago documents case as well. Again, what happened in the wee hours of the morning Saturday, April the 19th, it could be coincidence. Maybe they did it symbolically. Maybe they're thumbing the nose at our founding fathers. But the ride of Paul Revere is originally attributed to April the 18th. However, the majority of the events surrounding that day took place in the wee hours, overnight in the wee hours of the morning, just like this betrayal of this foreign aid package that was passed with Democrat votes. And it was after that, of course, the Battle of Lexington took place. And Paul Revere actually years later would write a letter, about an 8-page letter, recounting what he experienced that night on his famous ride where he would warn Americans and the colonists and John Hancock and Adams up in Lexington of the British troops on the march, and he did that at the behest of a Dr. Warren. It was about 10 o'clock on April the 18th at night when the Dr. Warren sent for Paul Revere. He writes in his letter, about 10 o'clock, Dr. Warren sent in great haste for me and begged that I would immediately set off for Lexington, where Messrs. Hancock and Adams were, and acquaint them of the movement, meaning the British troop movement, and that it was thought that they were the objects. When I got to Dr. Warren's house, I found he had set an express by land to Lexington, and he said that they agreed, like a week earlier, he had met with Hancock and Adams and said, if the British were coming by sea, they would do two lanterns. If they were coming by land, they would show one. They would light one. So thus, you've heard the phrase, two if by sea, one if by land.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from, Paul Revere's letter. And we find out that several times during his ride in this letter, you should read it. We'll maybe tell you where to get it a little bit later on, but he countered the British on several occasions, basically dodging them, running away, escaping. But he was able to, they think, warn about 500 Americans on his way. And that is just incredible. He was able to do that. And at one point, he had a loaded gun pointed at his head where they threatened to blow his brains out. And somehow he talked his way out of that. It just wasn't a normal everyday fast horse ride, folks. This was fraught with danger. The man took his life into his hands. So Paul Revere showed incredible courage, bravery, and patriotism, unlike most of the members of Congress in the wee hours of Saturday morning, where Speaker Johnson once again broke promises, once again betrayed the American people, once again violated the Constitution. Pouring salt in an open wound, House Democrats, they passed a $95 billion foreign aid package, $60 billion of it going to Ukraine, $26 billion to Israel, and about $8 billion to Taiwan and the rest, as they say. But what they did was, in the process, they're waving Ukrainian flags. Almost all the Democrats and a few rhinos. And of course, that was just incredible to see another country's flag being waved in your House of Representatives, the People's House. And it really incensed true patriots like Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna of Florida, who got up and admonished her fellow colleagues during the event.
From Florida, rise.
I said,
the gentlewoman from Florida.
Put the standing flag away.
Put those damn flags away. The only flag that should ever be seen in the House of Representatives is the American flag. These people are traitors. I think that's treasonous behavior.
Yeah.
Congressman Corey Mills of Florida, he's himself a veteran. He was disgusted.
I'm sure you're all as disgusted as I am with witnessing the flying of the Ukrainian flags on the U.S. Congressional Chamber. I want to be clear that the only flag that should ever be flown in our Congress, on our floor, in our chamber, should be the American flag. You know, I wish that so many of them who supported the Ukrainian funding for their border and for their country cared as much about America to fly proudly the American flag when we vote on border security like H.R. 2. It is a sad day in Congress. It is a sad day in America when people proudly fly the flag of a foreign nation in our United States chamber.
And you heard him mention the money for the Ukrainian border, $300 million for Ukraine to secure its border, not a single cent for our border in the United States. Not a penny. Not one penny.
It's like we own Ukraine now. We've given them so much money.
Or they own us.
Well, yeah.
They probably do, based on all the corruption, based on all the bribes. The Joe Biden. And look, I think I'm going to include Republicans in there. I think Republicans' hands are dirty.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've been bought off by cartels. Some, not all. And again, this is the third time in the last month. Speaker Johnson, who's got all the leadership skills of a caboose, have given up $1.2 trillion spending bill with more support from Democrats and Republicans. He reauthorized warrantless searches of Americans under FISA Section 702. And now this? Now this is the third betrayal, says Congressman Tom Massey.
He's about to commit his third betrayal today of the American public. The first betrayal was an omnibus bill a few weeks ago that spent more than Nancy Pelosi. His second betrayal was last week, reauthorizing FISA without letting us require warrants for spying on Americans.
Yeah, I mean, this is just amazing. Chip Roy said only $44 to $47 billion, or 40% of the $113 billion that we've already handed out to Ukraine, is in lethal aid, meaning military aid. So what was the other $66 to $70 billion for? I'll tell you what it was for. It was to shore up the pension system of Ukraine because, you know, they don't want to fight unless they know their families are going to be taken care of. They can't get enough men to fight. Russia's cleaning their clocks right now. And so U.S. taxpayers are expected, and we got idiots like Mitch McConnell and others saying, well, one day U.S. troops may have to go. And again, hopefully that will never happen, and it shouldn't happen. Where is everybody talking about peace? All we keep talking about is war. And Massey says, that's the uniparty war drum you hear beating.
We want to keep the majority, and here's the problem. Mike Johnson is giving Americans no reason to put Republicans back in the majority. He's the uniparty speaker now, and he's not effective at raising money to keep our majority.
Look, many of the most professional political class inside the swamp just flat out believe this echo chamber bubble created by the intelligence community. They just believe the IC. Doesn't matter what they say, they believe it, including Republican political leadership. In this case, Speaker Johnson. In this case, we're hearing now that Speaker Johnson, Mike Pompeo, whispered in his ear that they needed to reauthorize Section 702, which is unconstitutional. Johnson's supposed to be a constitutional attorney, and he obviously failed miserably on this test. So Pompeo whispers in his ear, his son's going to Naval Academy. And there might be a little bit of problems with a black child that Speaker Johnson and his wife adopted getting into trouble. And they might be holding that over his head. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he certainly isn't acting.
Right.
He's breaking every single promise he's made. And he's not acting like a conservative or a constitutional attorney or even a Christian funding abortions and mutilations of minors. No Christian acts that way. That calls himself a Christian, that actually is a Christian. But Speaker Johnson defended what he has done.
As I've said many times, I don't walk around this building being worried about a motion to vacate. I have to do my job. We did. I've done here what I believe to be the right thing, and that is to allow the House to work its will. And as I've said, you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. I will continue to do that.
You made a brave step, but at the same time, it took too long for aid to Ukraine, and maybe too long. Why you decided to do it right now?
Listen, the House had a lot of important work to do here. We had to get the government funded in our appropriations process. We had to reauthorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. We had a lot of important measures that had to be done, and we got to this as quickly as we could. This is an important matter. I think it's timely. I think you've heard from leaders around the world, including in Ukraine, that this is being done on a timely basis, and the House had to have the time to deliberate and do this in the right manner. I think we did our work here, and I think history will judge it well.
Now, history's already judged it, and it's an absolute flop. It's a failure. I do not understand for the life of me why, while former President Trump is saying he wants to keep Speaker Johnson and not to vacate the chair. I understand the chaos that could ensue, but do what Sabin John did. You announce you're going to resign, then you handpick your successor, and then there will be no chaos. But Speaker Johnson has broken every promise he has made. The single subject bills, not voting for any more omnibus or minibus bills, securing the border. There wouldn't be a floor vote on Ukraine or aid to Israel or anywhere else without securing the border. He failed on that. He failed on the warrantless searches. Yeah, Americans can now be, for the next 2 years, they can look at all of our stuff without a warrant. And that's how they set up Donald Trump.
He failed quickly, too. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, this guy flamed out real fast. And we'll get to the reason why here in just a second. I think Tucker's hit on it. We'll get to that. But first up, Marjorie Taylor Greene is beside herself. She calls what's happening in Washington right now a sick business model.
You see, the United States taxpayer has already sent $113 billion to Ukraine. And a lot of that money is unaccounted for. This is a continuance of a sick business model that the American government continues. The federal government continues to fund the military-industrial complex, and this is a business model that requires Congress to continue to vote for money, to continue to fund foreign wars, and this is a business model the American people do not support. They don't support a business model built on blood and murder and war in foreign countries, while this very government does nothing to secure our border. The American people are over $34 trillion in debt, and the debt is rising by over $40 billion every single night while we all sleep. But yet nothing is done to secure our border or reduce our debt.
She's 100% right. Mm-hmm. That deficit, nearly $35 trillion, going to be over $2 trillion every year. More war, more spending, more bloodshed, no secure border. More graft, greed, corruption. It's the way of Washington, don't you know? And it's going to continue. And all of this because of Ukraine. Ukraine, where the oligarchs and American presidents go to enrich themselves while sending the message to Putin, no, we're not going to get in your way. And now all of a sudden we're being asked to defend somebody who's not even a member of NATO.
Ukraine is not a member of NATO. But the most important thing you hear in Washington, D.C. is, oh, we have to spend Americans' hard-earned tax dollars over to Ukraine and keep the money going to continue to murder Ukrainians, wipe out an entire generation of Ukrainian men so that there are widows, there are fatherless orphans, there are not enough men to work in their industries. Oh, but you really support Ukraine. Wow, what kind of support is that? It's repulsive.
Yeah, it's absolutely repulsive. Disgusting is what Corey Mills said. But what is causing this? And I think I know the answer. And it's, you're not going to like hearing it. And we'll share it to you in just a second. We'll play one more clip from Marjorie Taylor Greene, because I think she touches on this a little bit in her speech from the floor the other day.
And if this body was worth what it claims to be, what it is, every single one of us would be demanding peace in Ukraine between these countries, peace for these people so that no more of them have to die. But you never hear anybody demanding peace. No, 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 no. Peace is the last thing Washington wants because it doesn't fit the business model. This is a business model that they say continues our economy, protects American jobs. What a disgusting business model. We should have a business model that builds up our American companies and American jobs to serve American interest. And our military and our government should care about protecting the national security of the United States of America and the Americans that pay their hard-earned tax dollars to fund all of this. America last. America last. That's all this is. Every single day, America last.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And why? Because the Uniparty wants it that way. The Uniparty wants globalism. They want global control. They don't want a nation with borders. That wipes out your sovereignty. We have a bunch of traitors and treasonous leeches in Congress right now, and they don't want Donald Trump to win. Sure, some do. Some MAGA does, House Freedom Caucus, America First. So, yeah, but most of them, the rhinos, the Uniparty Republicans, Democrats certainly don't want Donald Trump to win. But I think there's a vast majority, unfortunately, the vast majority of the Republicans in the Senate and the House are Uniparty rhinos, and they don't want Donald Trump to win. They will do everything they can to stop him from winning, including if they have to turn over the House to the Democrats. How else do you explain a complete violation of their oath to uphold the Constitution? The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution says, and I quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized." End of quote. That's the Fourth Amendment. On Saturday morning, the Senate, over the weekend, voted to authorize warrantless federal government searches of every American's private papers, effects, emails, electronic data records, cell phone calls, contact lists, text messages, buying habits, purchases, banking records, special communications, and every keystroke of every electronic device in your life. All of it continues to be subject to the capture, review, and surveillance of an unelected opaque law enforcement mechanism, and Congress supports it.
Yeah, nothing we say, they listen to. Like, I feel so out of control.
Yeah. And the Supreme Court has never ruled out, because that's my first question. This is not, can't be constitutional. It isn't. Right. And they go, well, what about the Supreme Court? Well, the Supreme Court has never ruled on it because they say no American has standing to challenge the federal government violation of the Fourth Amendment right to privacy. It's infuriating. As he used to say in the military, it's a FUBAR. That stands for freaked up beyond all recognition. Lindsey Graham, he was all hot and bothered over the weekend on FISA getting reauthorized.
We're at war, in case you missed it. I've never seen more threats to the homeland than I do right now. The FBI director says everywhere he looks, he sees blinking lights. 702 applies to foreign people on foreign soil that we believe mean us harm.
But often scoops up Americans in those searches.
Yes, we're following some guy overseas who we think to be a terrorist. If he's talking to somebody in the United States, we can query the system to find out what's up. Maybe they're threatening me. I'm on the threat list. One of the reasons that they told me about what they want to do to me is they captured something overseas. So if two foreigners are talking about Boeing or Lindsey Graham, we can query the system and find out what they're talking about. If they think I'm involved with them, they have to get a warrant. But before 9/11, the FBI and the CIA could not talk to each other. We're at war. They're coming to kill us all. We have a broken border. I want to know what they're talking about over there before they kill us here. And if you shut this thing down, you've turned the war into a crime. We're not fighting a crime. We're fighting a bunch of people who would kill all of us if they could get here. So when you intercept information from a foreigner overseas talking about attacking America, I want to know what they're talking about. And if you believe that Americans involved, you have to get a warrant. We're at war. This is intelligence gathering.
Well, I'm sorry, but people aren't getting warrants. There were 300,000 warrantless queries or searches done on Americans by the FBI. So where does it say you have to get a warrant? You should. It's under the Constitution. The Patriot Act needs to go bye-bye. Sorry. It just does, or it has to be reformed. And word war, really, where's the declaration of war, Lindsay? Because only Congress can declare war. Where is the declaration? If we're at war, I want to know who we are at war with. I think what happens is that the government is at war with the American people. And the gaslighting that's going on is just one for the ages. Here's the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Mark Warner. They're part of the IC. They're part of the problem. Here, his attempt to gaslight all of America.
Let's remember what 702 is. It is the ability for the United States government to surveil, listen in on non-Americans, foreigners who are abroad.
That's a lie. Absolutely nothing about what he just said is accurate. Foreigners do not have a constitutional protection whatsoever. All foreign communications can be intercepted without issue, without FISA. FISA 702 authority only pertains to Americans. The term 702 is specifically referencing private communication with and or by an American. So he just told you a lie. Lindsey Graham just told you a lie because they don't want you to know they're spying on you. They spied on Trump as a candidate, as a president.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to say. They spied on Trump using the FISA.
And they'll use it again.
Yes, they will.
They'll use it again to do whatever they can to get rid of him. You get unhinged Senator Lindsey Graham losing his marbles over this. He should be protecting Americans. FISA 702 only pertains to the private conversations of Americans. Not, let me repeat this, not any intercept or communication method that has to do with foreigner or foreign adversary. The only time FISA 702 applies is when an American person is captured in an intercept that has targeted a foreign person. Surveillance of foreign actors, foreign persons, and intercepting communications of foreign entities does not require any FISA authority at all. Foreign actors, again, do not get constitutional protection. Well, apparently, neither do we. Thank you to the 30 Republicans voted yes. The bill passed 60-34. Over the weekend. And of course, Schumer is all excited. We get a chance to spy on Trump some more. Notice they never use it to spy on the Democrats.
Never.
Because the Democrats don't pose a threat. And most Republicans, frankly, don't either. It's only Trump. Because Trump knows what game they're playing. So why does this happen? Why do we have Mike Johnson and some other Republicans, Mike Pompeo, you know, I think Tucker Carlson, who's on with Joe Rogan on his podcast the last couple of days, I think he kind of nails it when you talk about weak and evil, good versus evil and weak versus strong.
Here's the illusion that we fall for time and again. We imagine that evil comes like fully advertised as such, like evil people look like Anton LaVey.
Horns, yeah.
Right. Black,
you know what I mean?
Black cloak.
Exactly.
Sickle.
Evil is an independent force that exists outside of people, that acts upon people. I really believe that. I've experienced it a lot. And it's obvious. And what vessel do they choose? The weak. It's weak men and women who are instruments of evil. The weaker the leader, the more evil that leader will be. So it's, and unfortunately, we've reached a time in American history where every leader is either a woman or a weak man, pretty much. And so there's, I'm sorry to say it, that's just true. And the weaker the leader, that's why Mike Johnson, everyone's like, oh, Mike Johnson's such a nice guy. Well, I know Mike Johnson and he's a perfectly nice guy to the extent that he's like polite and seems kind of meek and restrained. And he's not saying motherfucker ever, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's got like very sort of buttoned down affect, but he's a weak man. And that's the man you should be afraid of. The people who you should be less afraid of are the, you know, headstrong, loud, don't care what anybody thinks. Yeah, those guys will go off track, but they're probably not going to abet, you know, genocide or blow up the world in a nuclear exchange because they may be obnoxious, but they know who they are. Weak people just become a host for evil, you know, an open, empty building that evil occupies, possesses even. And that's exactly what's happening to Mike Johnson. It's like absolutely crazy what Mike Johnson is doing. But it's not because he's evil. It's because he's weak. And
Yeah, well, I agree with Tucker wholeheartedly, except for one thing, and that is that, you know, nice guys are nice guys. Nice guys don't do what Mike Johnson has done. I keep hearing for years that, oh, Joe Biden's a nice guy. No, he's not. He's not a nice guy. And Mike Johnson can't be a nice guy if you advertise yourself as a constitutional attorney and then you crap all over it. You call yourself a Christian and then you fund late-term abortions and mutilations of children. That's the, no Christian, no self-respecting Christian would do that. And he's certainly not conservative after signing on to the spending extravaganza and the FISA stuff.
And you can be a nice person, but also be strong in your convictions.
Absolutely. So,
you know.
Yeah. You don't, again, exuding strength does not mean being a jerk.
Right.
Or being a bully. Be strong in your convictions and your principles. Fight for what you believe in. That's strength. When you give up that fight, that's a sign of weakness. That's appeasement. Mm-hmm. And of course, Satan will fill that gap, that vacuum every time. Every time. Also, the Tucker points out that members of Congress are living in fear of the intelligence community. Remember, Chuck E. Schumer warned Trump, you don't want to get run afoul, I'm paraphrasing here, of the intelligence community. They'll find a way to screw you 17 days to Sunday or whatever. And they will, because they will do stuff to you. They will fabricate stuff. They will set you up, just like they did to a lot of the J6ers. There's Tucker once again on Rogan talking about what Congress lives in fear of when it comes to the IC.
I mean, people don't say that because they're worried about getting punished. They're worried about someone putting kiddie porn on their computer.
Right.
Members of Congress are terrified of the intel agencies. I'm not guessing at that. They've told me that, including people on the Intel Committee, including people who run the Intel Committee, the people whose job it is to oversee and keep in line these enormous secretive agencies whose budgets we can't even know. They're black budgets. They're the parents. The agencies are the children. They're afraid of the agencies. That's not compatible with democracy.
No, it's not. And that's why they has to be reformed. DOJ has to be reformed. I do think Speaker Johnson may also be compromised. There's a couple of things I wanted to point your direction. One is involving his adoption. And this goes back years ago when he and his wife apparently adopted a black child that was living in poverty at the time. And he kind of raised him as a son. And I think it was a rags to riches story. It really had a good start. But when they were newlyweds, Mike and Kelly Johnson adopted this James is his name, Michael Terrell James, and after meeting him through a charitable work in Louisiana, and despite a beginning positive change in trajectory after the adoption, James got his GED, graduated from a Job Corps program. His legal issues began. A rap sheet, which includes a range of drug-related and petty crimes dating back to 2003. James has been documented through mugshots, recently residing in Los Angeles. James had a brush with the law, and he was involved in an illegal cannabis business, and God knows what else. So maybe, and again, he's 40 years old now. It is something that maybe it's embarrassing to Mike and Kelly Johnson. I don't know. The other thing I found a little bit weird about Johnson is apparently there was an agreement that he made with his son. I don't know if you heard this, Michelle, or not.
No.
They would monitor each other's porn usage.
Oh, you know what? I did hear something about
that. And when I first heard that, I said, that's the swamp. They must be making that up because it's a conservative.
Exactly. That's what I thought, too.
But apparently there's some truth to it. Rolling Stone and they're 50-50. Who knows if you believe. But there was a resurfaced clip from 2022 where Speaker Johnson admitted to monitoring his and his son's porn usage. Well, people that are Christians don't do that. So maybe they got some stuff on. Who knows?
Yeah.
But the big question is whether, now notice Marjorie Taylor Greene, she filed a motion to vacate, but she didn't do it with privilege, meaning nobody has to act on it. So I'm sure that she's spoken to Trump. For some reason, Trump wants this guy close to him. Maybe he thinks he can control him. Right now, Trump is the one that said, kill FISA. Guess what happened? It didn't happen. With all due respect, Mr. President, Johnson crossed you. He betrayed you like he betrayed everybody else. So I'm okay. I'm okay with more chaos. I'm okay with whatever it takes to get somebody in that position. And maybe Trump should take it. Of course, he's pretty busy right now.
Right.
Or somebody else should take it that, you know, it means business and can get stuff done.
Got to get to November. We got to get through this.
And I think that's what Trump is hoping for. Right. But there's a lot of damage.
I know.
That can be done. Now, the good news is on FISA, it's 2 years. Then Trump hopefully will be in office then. They don't have to worry about that. On to what is happening on college campuses and universities. It's Passover. So happy Passover to our Jewish listeners again. And this is something that every time that these protests, you know, pop up, the latest happened to be in Columbia, NYU. It's now spread to Tufts, I think, and another Barnyard College and others, where they want these colleges to divest themselves of any kind of investment in Israel or Israeli products, whatever. Because, you know, free Palestine, pro Hamas, let's kill as many Jews as we can. That's what they believe. And that's what they're protesting for. And now, but it's crossed that, the Rubicon. It's now gone from a peaceful protest to physical harassment, intimidation, and a physical attack in some cases. And it starts off with the, you know, the pro Hamas, pro Palestine, but in come the rent-a-mob. These are people that are usually outsiders, that come in and they start trouble. And I think that's what has begun to happen. Here's Senator J.D. Vance on what's going on in New York.
I don't care what your underlying ideology is. If you're harassing fellow students, if you're preventing people from getting to class, if you're stabbing your fellow students in the eye with flags, you should go to prison.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'll just play a couple of things from some Jewish students who go to Columbia and Yale. First one up is Eden Yadiger. Eden Yadiger talks about a professor who was pro-Hamas that she had at Columbia.
This semester, I am unable to complete my Middle East Studies major as intended because the only course offered about Israel is taught by the professor who referred to the massacre and rape of innocent people, of young women just like me, as stunning, astonishing, awesome, jubilant achievement. We are ostracized, mocked, harassed, assaulted, and scapegoated because of our identities. The Jews yelled at visibly Jewish friends of mine on multiple separate occasions.
Yeah, and so it sounds like the 1930s all over again, especially when they're marking products with the Star of David. You might recall your history during the run-up to the Holocaust. The Jews were marked with a yellow Star of David or marked with the term Juden in German, which means Jew. And here is Eden Yadigar talking about what Columbia University, her fellow students, were advocating.
Online, Columbia students suggested labeling local shops that support Israel's right to exist, quote, with a Star of David. Is this 1938 or 2024? A law professor recently advocated for the removal of Israeli students from campus.
Yeah, that's going on in America as we speak because we let money. The Chinese buy up positions in our universities so that they can take our knowledge, steal our intellectual properties and return to China and use it against us. And the same thing is happening with these Marxist madrasas at Columbia, NYU, etc. Over at Yale, Sahar Tartak talks about she was physically assaulted on campus.
They saw me, and so they began to taunt me as well because they recognized that I was there. I was something that they view as an enemy. And finally, the taunting continued and escalated, and I was just there to record them. And the taunting escalated until somebody waved a Palestinian flag in my face and then jabbed me in my left eye.
Stabbed her in the eye.
Wow.
With a flagpole. And she talks about, you know, what, first off, it's just remembering the Holocaust in and of itself is just very unsettling. But now you got to go back to October 7th. When you watched innocent men, women, and children murdered, tortured, raped, All while celebrated by Hamas. And now it's being celebrated on campuses like Yale.
And these students have chanted, "There is only one solution, Intifada Revolution."
That's right.
Which is a direct reference to uprisings that included suicide bombs in Israel and killed civilians. After October 7th, they absolutely celebrated and, of course, justified these events en masse. It's really painful to realize that your peers have joined the Nazi party.
Think about that. Your peers, your colleagues, your fellow students matriculating with you are celebrating the rape, torture, and murder of Israeli citizens, of human beings.
And nobody is standing up that should be standing up and stopping this.
Right. Well, those the people, and that's because the Democrats run the show in New York.
Oh, yeah.
They're Eric Adams. He is a limp noodle. Kathy Hochul, she is an absolute waste of human flesh. Senators Hawley and Cotton are now calling on the governor, and if she won't do it, Joe Biden, to call out the National Guard.
He's not going to do it.
Because
he's not going to do it.
Back in the late 50s, President Eisenhower had to send the 101st Airborne to Little Rock, Arkansas. You might remember the story of the Little Rock Nine. The black children, they were integrating schools, and they wanted to go to the school, I think it was Central High School in Little Rock. And George Wallace stood in the doorway, wouldn't let him in. Governor Orville Faubus called out the guard. President Eisenhower supported him, and in went the National Guard to make sure that black children could get the same educational opportunities as white children. That was the right thing then. It's the right thing now. These Jewish students are being denied their educational Title VII civil rights, educational opportunities.
Well, and I don't know if you heard this, but Columbia, they've closed down the campus now.
Yeah, they're all virtual learning. As I'm saying, they're being denied the educational opportunity because of this pro-Hamas mindset. And just as Johnson sent the National Guard into Alabama to protect civil rights, Joe Biden should do that to protect Jewish students on campus so they get their educational opportunities and don't have to be intimidated, harassed, or even stabbed in the eye.
Well, this is communist plans, destroy education, trying to destroy the family,
right. Everything.
That's their plan.
Well, the lunatics are running the asylum right now. Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq, who, by the way, is a Muslim, released a statement this week canceling all in-person classes and said she hopes to convene a working group to discuss the crisis. Call out the NYPD, call out the National Guard, you know, get on the phone to the governor and say, this has got to stop and it has to stop now. Alan Dershowitz, who is a liberal, who happens to be Jewish, is blaming DEI for this crisis.
The core problem is DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, intersectionality. These dominate universities today, and they're the sources of anti-Semitism. Let me tell you a story about one professor. His name is Joseph Massad. He is the one who praised Hamas on October 7th and said what they did was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, he's right, kind of, sort of. DEI is the current construct, but it's Marxism. Mm-hmm. Marxism gives birth to all this stuff, political correctness, outcome-based education, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusivity. It's all born out of Marxism, cultural Marxism, and Marxism that is being practiced openly in our college campuses. And we're going to have to kill the DEI movement to get our country back. And Donald Trump's going to have to be president, number one. Number two, either get rid of the education department or appoint somebody who's going to get rid of DEI, like Vivek Ramaswamy or Ryan Gurdusky over at the 1776 Project. I can give you five or six people that will be strong enough to sanitize and fire these DEI morons and Marxists and get our campuses back. The other thing I think you have to address is tenure. These professors that develop tenure, they can do anything they want, say anything they want, and they can't be fired. In what world is that considered right? I mean, if I do something wrong in my job, I could get fired. And I know that each and every day. Mm-hmm. It creates an aura of responsibility. If you're not responsible, okay, and then you pay the consequences. But there is no consequences for these Marxist professors, etc. Finally, on the Trump trial, This has been, of course, we're now on our second day. Opening arguments were yesterday. We found out that, oh, by the way, a juror was allowed to attend a dental emergency, so they closed up shop early yesterday, but Donald Trump can't go see his son graduate in May. That can't happen. And it's just, you know, this is lawfare. It's a weaponization of the legal system against Donald Trump. And he said it's also election interference.
This is done as election interference. Everybody knows it. I'm here instead of being able to be in Pennsylvania and Georgia and lots of other places campaigning. And it's very unfair. Fortunately, the poll numbers are very good. They've been going up because people understand what's going on. This is a witch hunt, and it's a shame. And it comes out of Washington. It's in coordination with Washington, everything, including the DA's office. It's in coordination with Washington. I just want people to understand that this is done for purposes of hurting the opponent of the worst president in the history of our country.
And thanks to the order by Judge Cannon down in Florida, key evidence has now surfaced related to classified documents. Case is now unredacted. So when Trump says it's all coming out of Washington, that's because it is. We now know why. More proof of collaboration between the Biden White House and the National Archives and Records Administration to concoct a case against Trump. Outrageous lies by Joe Biden, the AG Merrick Garland, and the DOJ Jack Smith about quote-unquote independence. There was none. The Biden White House and DOJ were intimately involved in developing a criminal case against Trump for records mismanagement, appears the first go-around related to the alleged destruction of government papers. Contrary to public and legal assertions, NARA was working with the DOJ White House to craft a criminal referral by September of 2021. That's 5 months before the official referral by NARA to DOJ in February of 2022. So now you know why. You know why the insiders like Andrew the Pitbull Weissman and others are desperate to get rid of Judge Cannon, because without her courage on this matter, incriminating evidence of the Biden White House and DOJ running the investigation behind the scenes would have been buried maybe forever. And DOJ, by the way, told NARA to make sure to cover their tracks. People should go to jail for this. The Biden Department of Energy also was involved. They discovered that Jack Smith handed down his indictment that Trump had an active security clearance. So they retroactively terminated it. Folks, it is, people need to go to jail. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump here. I'm talking about Jack Smith. I'm talking about Merrick Garland. I'm talking about Joe Biden. And any of these individuals. Trump put out on Truth Social today, highly conflicted, to put it mildly, Judge Juan Merchan has taken away my constitutional right to free speech. Everybody's allowed to talk and lie about me, but I'm not allowed to defend myself. This is a kangaroo court, and the judge should recuse himself. But that's not going to happen. He's a Democrat donor. This is a guy that gave money to Democrat candidates, to a progressive movement, and to some movement called Stop the Republicans. You think he's impartial? Think again. And Trump says, this is a very sad day.
A thing like that, and a thing like what's going on right here should never be happening. It's a very, very sad day in America, I can tell you that.
A judge on Monday smacked down the Tish James and ruled in favor of Trump in the fight over $175 million bond. That's a big, big win there. So every once in a while, you know, of course, the media won't tell you that. The Bragg prosecutors, Bragg prosecutors, just, they were just lying to jurors, lying that this was a criminal conspiracy to affect the 2016 election when Trump would allegedly pay off hush money or non-disclosure agreements, which aren't legal, by the way. Many people do that. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. But that's, that's what he has to deal with right now. And I think it's only making him stronger. His poll numbers continue to rise. And again, we just got to make sure that now that today was the big discussion over gag. There was like 10 or 11 times, allegedly, right, he violated the gag order. And now the judge has to decide. He's put it off for now. I guess why? You know why? Because stinking rotten rat Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels have made public statements about Donald Trump. Alvin Bragg has made public statements about the case. You can't let one party or one side spout off in the case and take Donald Trump's rights away.
Exactly.
So I think that's the only thing, the reason why this idiot judge, because he knows he'll be slapped down by a higher court. Time for our cringe moment of the day, and it belongs to Virginia Democrat Gerald Connolly, a Ukrainian flag waver celebrating the big win.
The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life. Do we have a stake in that outcome? Yes. Undeniably, yes.
I know nothing. Nothing.
The Ukrainian border is our border?
That's the globalist agenda, just like you said.
And it's, you know, it's sad to, you know, say that, look, we've been warning you about this for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And now they're just openly coming out and admitting it. Time for the unhinged moment.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
You know, it's tough to see which is the most radical Soros-funded prosecutor out there today. There's Kim Fox in Chicago. There's George Gascon in Italy. There's Chesa Boudin, who got recalled in San Francisco. There's Kimberly Ferguson in St. Louis. I'm leaving somebody out. Who was it? I'm thinking of
wasn't Alvin Bragg
one? Alvin Bragg in New York, and Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. But then there's Tish James. Letitia James has been caught in a delicious moment of hypocrisy.
The president of the United States has complained that I'm engaging in some sort of political witch hunt, that I've got some personal vendetta against him, that I campaigned against him. That is not true.
This illegitimate president who sits in the White House. That president, because he's not my president, he's an illegitimate president. His days are numbered. His days are numbered.
We've got to get ready to mobilize, and we've got to get ready to agitate and irritate until victory is won, but more importantly, until Trump is defeated. We will all rise up and resist this man.
Illegitimate president, I'm going to give you the same level of respect that you gave to President Obama, and that is absolutely no respect at all.
Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey!
Oh, oh. Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey! Oh, oh.
That is not true.
Oops. Oops.
Yeah, right.
Pockets of Patriots today. We've got number one download, Salisbury, Maryland on the Eastern Shore. Number one, followed by Lancaster, South Carolina, Brandon, Mississippi, and, of course, Allendale, Michigan. Thanks so much. Thanks for downloading. Make sure you share this podcast with like-minded Patriots, fellow family members, coworkers, colleagues, etc. Remember, you can always get in touch with us at theseancaseyshow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
All right, that does it for today's full episode. We'll be back on Thursday with another full episode. Thanks to our executive producer, Michelle Double Extra Sella.
My pleasure. See you Thursday.
Thursday, and associate producers Hunter and Logan Casey. Back on Thursday, the Casey commentary is on Saturday. More delicious highlights from the Trump trial. Fight hard. Stay free.